You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Praise God. Good evening, everybody. It's so good to see you. I can't see most people, but I've seen you from the side. My name is Anthony Mekako. I'm part of the team here, married to Mercy, and we've been here for... How long have we been here? 3 years? Yes. But it's been exciting. Thank God. Thanks to the leadership for the opportunity to stand before God's people and just bring forth His word today. Amen. If you've been following, we've been doing a series on the kingdom of God, the kingdom come, and during the morning services, we've been talking about the kingdom, and then in the evening services, we've been looking at parables. Parables are sort of stories told by Jesus to highlight a spiritual or a moral principle, something that has to do with the kingdom of God. And we've had several of our people, Josh, Rachel, Jamie, come forward to share different aspects of this. And if, like me, you've missed some parts of it, catch up. I've caught up on our podcast, and they're great preachings. Thank you all very much. Praise God. So we're going to continue on this same series today. And I'm going to be looking at one of the parables, the parable of the unmerciful or unforgiven servant. Amen. Praise God. Now, the parable actually starts in Matthew chapter 18 from verse 23, but I'm going to start reading from verse 21. It's going to come up on the screen. But if you have your Bible, your devices, and you want to turn there, please feel free. Matthew chapter 18. I'm reading today from the New King James Version. Any version you have is fine. And it says, it'd be good if you open the right page, Anthony. Yeah. It says, now then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with all his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him his debt. But that servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told his master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers till he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if you, each of you from his heart or her heart, does not forgive his or her brother his or her trespasses. Father, we thank you for your word. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask that you help us to hear what you want to say to your people. Let it be all of you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen. So by the grace of God, I'm just going to go through a few basic things about this parable, just sort of paraphrase it and explain again to us, and then I'm going to talk about a few reflections, four reflections from what I've got from this parable as I prepared and prayed about it, and then we're going to make time for ministry. Does that sound like a plan? Amen. Praise God. So Jesus had just finished teaching. If you read a few verses before that, Jesus had just finished teaching on how to deal with a brother or a sister who sins against you, how you should talk to them one to one. If they refuse, get somebody else. If they refuse, bring it to the church, etc. And so Peter just came and he asked Jesus a question. He said, "So how many times do I have to forgive my brother if they sin against me? Seven times?" I mean, he wanted to be magnanimous because the teachings from the rabbi, the Jewish rabbi, was that you forgave your brother or your sister three times. And after that, it was free game. So Peter, wanting to feel magnanimous, you know, coming in his self-righteous, pious self, said to Jesus, "You know, I can double that and add one just for extra, seven times." But he was shocked by how pitiful his attempt to be self-righteous was. You know, isn't it just like me and you sometimes to come looking so pious, so self-righteous? The funny thing is that God is not impressed with any of that at all. And in any case, he sees right through it. If I come in with my air like that, he sees right through it. But the good thing is that he loves me and he loves you just as we are. And he asks us to come just as we are. Anyway, Jesus said to him, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, that's 490 times. Some translations will say 77, 77 or 70 sevens. But the important thing is not about the amount of times. Now, some of us may know some really annoying people who can offend you up to 490 times in one day. Sometimes I'm that person, okay? Don't look at Mercy, but you can ask her later on. But don't look, okay? So anyway, but we can't be like that. But the important thing that Jesus was saying here, he was not giving a definite number. He was saying, you forgive some more, you keep forgiving and keep forgiving, and then you forgive some more and keep forgiving till eternity. In other words, you just keep forgiving. That's what Jesus was trying to teach here. You know, he began this parable by telling about a king who wanted to reconcile his account. Now, the first person who was brought to him, that person owed him 10,000 talents. That's an enormous amount of money. Just to give you context, one denarius, so the denarius and the talents were you know, units of currency in those times of the New Testament. One denarius was a Roman silver coin that weighed about 4 grams. It was equivalent to one day's wage. Josh shared something with us at the beginning of this thing about the talents, and said this man went and hired people, and one day's wage for a common laborer or a soldier was one denarius. One denarius was, one talent was 6,000 denarius. Denarius is denarii. The Bible calls it denarii. 6,000. Now, that's 6,000 days' wages for a common worker. So if that worker worked every day, including the Sabbath, didn't spend any of his earnings, didn't spend anything at all, it would take him about 16 years to work one talent. And if he decided not to work on the Sabbath day, 20 years, almost 20 years to get one talent. This man owed 10,000 talents. That's equivalent to 160 years of a man's labor, an average man's labor. It was an enormous amount of money. How he owed that is just beyond me. But he owed that much. But yet, this man forgave him all that debt because he begged him. Now, this guy went out and he found another man who owed him 100 denarii. That's still a lot of money. It's 3 months' wages. It's 100 days' wages for an average worker. But he grabbed him by the throat. Pay me my money. Despite how this man begged, he wouldn't even give him an opportunity to pay. He threw him into prison. Now, just for us to know that in those days, it was common practice. It's called, in whatever, there's this kind of servitude where you pay you, if you can't pay, they put you in jail, you work and work, and or you are working for somebody without pay. Any money you earn is given to the person, indentured servanthood, they called it. And you had to work to pay. Now, even if this first servant worked multiple lifetimes, there was no way he could ever pay that kind of money. But his master forgave him, and he would not extend that same grace. And we know that the servant, when the king heard about it, he was angry. He rescinded the forgiveness he had given to that man. You know, he had wiped out his debt. He rescinded and called him back and threw him in jail. And he said, Jesus Christ said, that's what my Father will do to anyone who does not forgive from their heart. But let's look at four reflections from this passage and see how we can apply it to our lives today. I think the first thing I want to say is that God requires accountability. God requires, in fact, he demands accountability. You know, the king asked that he wanted to settle his accounts. Josh told us about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, where this master gave different talents to different people. And in verse 19, he says, he settled his accounts with them. He called them to come and give an account. You know, me and you, we are stewards of what God has given to us. And it's really very foolish for us to live our lives as if we are not going to give account to God. Because one day, God is going to ask us to give account of our lives and of what he has given to us to steward. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we must give an account. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Our lives are not our own. God will expect us to steward what he has given to us because we are going to give an account. So the master, God, demands accountability. The second point I want to reflect upon is that God is a merciful and forgiving Father. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The king forgave this man a huge debt which this man could never repay. Forget what he said, give me time. How was he going to pay? Even if he lived for 160,000 years, he would not have been able to pay that kind of money. In this same way, God forgives us our debts. He forgives us our sins. The truth is that each of us, we all owe more than we realize. We owe more than we realize to God. And we receive more than we deserve. That servant didn't deserve forgiveness, but the master gave it to him. We all owe more than we realize, but we receive more than we deserve from God. If we confess our sins, the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. This is for someone who might be sitting down here, that no matter what you have done against God, no matter how big your sin might be, God is a merciful God. He wants you to hear that today. He will forgive us. It is the devil who accuses us. God forgives us and he justifies us. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 14, he says, when we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness that stood against us and that condemned us. He took them away. He nailed them to the cross. So the devil has no business. I heard Kenneth Copeland, a minister in America, he said, your sin is not the business of the devil. The devil will try to accuse God. Your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. God is a merciful God. Psalm 103, verse 8, he says, Lord, you are so kind and tender-hearted and so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. That's the Passion Translation. Your love is like a flowing river that overflows its banks with kindness. So God is a merciful and a forgiving Father. I'll go to my third reflection. God expects us to forgive just as he forgives us. And the people of God say, amen. God expects us to forgive just as he forgives us. Notice the words of the king in that parable. You wicked servant, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? The king did not say, should you not also have had compassion because that's what good people do? That's not what he said. He said, should you not also have had compassion just as I had compassion or I had pity on you? I think that this is really very important when it comes to us forgiving others. Forgiveness is not something that we can always do in our own strength. I want us to listen. Forgiveness is not always something that we can do in our own strength. There's a lady in America, Lisa Tekos, and she's a speaker and an author. And she wrote one book called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And this is what she said. She said, forgiveness is not made possible only by our determination. It's not only by your determination or my determination. Forgiveness is made possible because of our cooperation with what God has already done for us and what God has already done in us. God has forgiven us so we can forgive others. He has put his spirit in us. He has put his nature in us, and we can act like him. We should look to God and focus on what he has done for us and how he has forgiven us. We forgive according to what we receive, not according to what they deserve. If you focus on what that offender deserves, you won't be able to forgive. If you focus on what you have received, if I focus on what I have received from God, the forgiveness that God has forgiven me, I will be able to forgive. Because compared to what God has forgiven me on, what somebody does to me is very small. It's like 100 talents, 100 denarii compared to 10,000 talents. When I sin against God, I sin against a holy, holy God with whom there is no sin. In whom there is no sin. When somebody sins against me, that person sins against a man like himself or herself, somebody who also sins. Do you get it? If I'm a pig farmer, I love pigs, nothing wrong with you. But if I'm a pig farmer and I'm wallowing in the mud with the pig and trying to push them around to push them into their pen, and one of them splashes mud on me, yes, it can be bad, but I'm already in mud. You see what I mean? But if the prime minister or the minister for agriculture is coming to inspect the place and I pack that mud and throw on that minister, it's a bit of a different ball game, because that person is probably going to the office to go and welcome Trump or somebody in their white suit, and I've just poured mud along with the effluence of the pig on them. It's a bit of a different game, but that's nothing compared with what I've done against God. So if I think about that, I can forgive. You know, I think that there are two major roadblocks to us fully practicing forgiveness and letting go of offenses against us. Pride, and the other is fear. Pride says, how dare they do this to me? Do they know who I am? Do they know how hard I have worked to get to where I am? Do they know what I have suffered to get this? Did they even think about my own feelings before they did this to me? That's what pride says. How can I forgive them? And fear says, well, if I forgive them, then they are going to make me a doormat. I'm going to be, I can't expose myself again to this hurt again, and I'm not ready to do that. But you know the thing about pride and fear? Pride and fear both look at, they look inwards at the big I, what I have suffered, what I might suffer. rather than us looking at God and looking to the cross to see what God has already done for us. So when pride says, they did that to me, I could never forgive them. The cross says, but you did much worse, and I forgave you. When fear says, if I forgive them, I may become a doormat. The cross says, when you forgive them as I forgive you, you become a doorway to lead them into the mercy and the grace that is in my, that I can give. You're not a doormat, you're a doorway. Praise the Lord. God wants to show us mercy. So what exactly is forgiveness? What does it mean to forgive? It says to pardon, this dictionary definition, to pardon or to release an offender or an offense, to cancel an indebtedness, to cease to feel resentment against somebody. A practical definition that I've seen, and I shared this before some time ago when we talked about forgiveness as part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards someone who has hurt you, regardless of whether or not they deserve it. A conscious or deliberate decision that you make deliberately to release that feeling of resentment or vengeance against someone who has hurt you, regardless of whether or not they deserve it. I heard a preacher, he gave an acronym for forgiveness, and I don't know whether it's up there, F-O-R-G-I-V-E, and he says, F, forsake revenge. O, only wish them well. R, respond to evil with good. Don't respond to evil with evil. G, grieve over their trouble. So when someone offends you and you forgive them, if they're in trouble, feel their pain. That's a true mark that you have forgiven them. Don't say, oh, they deserve it. I, intercede for their welfare. V, value reconciliation if at all possible. E, extend help if they need it. In Romans chapter 12, he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you heap coals of burning fire on their head. I heard the story of this tribe that a missionary went there and was telling them about, oh no, don't fight against the other team, don't kill them. If they do anything to you, no, don't fight against them, just let them be. And one of these tribesmen, you know, just came and was very magnanimous, gave a lot of gifts to those people. And the missionary said, how were you able to forgive them? He said, oh, no, I wanted to see their head smoke. You know, I wanted to see their head smoke. So, and that's not true forgiveness, but, you know, he wanted to see their head smoke because the Bible said, you heap coals of fire on their head. But, you know, the devil can sometimes hold us in bondage about forgiveness. Principally, holding on to what forgiveness is not. You know, we feel that forgiveness, we've mentioned what it is, but forgiveness does not necessarily mean that the action of that person was okay. Some of us here may remember the story in John chapter 8 when this woman was caught in adultery and they brought her before Jesus Christ. They wanted to stone her and Jesus Christ now said, he who has no sin, throw the first stone. And they all put their stones down and went, and Jesus Christ said to the woman, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. Jesus wasn't condoning sin. So if I forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that I condone what they have done. It doesn't mean that what they have done is right. It means that I am choosing to let them go. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean forgetting what the person has done or even reconciling. So just because you remember what the person did to you does not necessarily mean that you haven't forgiven. Forgiving means choosing not to remember. There's a difference between forgetting and choosing not to remember. So if somebody does something against me and I choose not to remember that or not to recall it against their charge, then that's forgiveness. But the fact that I remember it does not mean that I haven't forgiven the person. Is that all right? Don't let the devil deceive you and say forgiving is forget. Forgive and forget. Forget does not mean that you don't remember. It means that you don't count it against them. Forgiveness is not a feeling. You don't feel to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of faith, because you will still feel hurt. But forgiveness is an act of faith. And that act of faith goes way beyond my feeling. If I wait to feel okay before I forgive somebody, then I won't forgive. You won't forgive. So forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness does not mean that the offender doesn't face any consequences. If somebody comes and steals my property and I say, well, I forgive you, but if the police catch that person and they take the person to court, you know, I could still go and testify against them, but I will say it in court that I have forgiven them. But it doesn't mean that they won't pay the they may not pay the consequences. But if it is in my power, if I forgive, that's fine. But forgiveness does not mean people don't get punished. God himself said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So those people who have sinned against you, don't worry. God has a way of getting even with them. It's not for me and for you to get even with them. And it brings me to my final point. Forgiveness, unforgiveness has consequences. Unforgiveness has consequences. The parable teaches us that there are consequences to unforgiveness. We read in verses 34 and 35, and his master was angry and delivered him up to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will do also to each of you, if you do not from your own heart forgive his brother his trespasses. Now this may be very, very hard to say. Maybe even harder to hear and to receive. But it is true that God expects us to forgive just as he has forgiven us. And if we refuse to forgive, just like with any act of disobedience, we expose ourselves and open ourselves to the risk of negative consequences. The devil is there waiting to strike. The master said, deliver him up to the torturers. Now, I don't know that God will necessarily send me to hell if I don't forgive. I get to heaven by the grace of God and my faith in Christ. But if I'm delivered to a torturer, even on this earth, I can be tortured. Someone said that the little mercies that we receive, you know, when we do something wrong and God gives us mercies, that's all an act of grace. What if I keep myself from those things? There are some consequences. There are natural consequences of unforgiveness. I'll tell you this. I'm a doctor. We have I don't know, medical students here, you might know, there is PubMed. PubMed is somewhere where you can search for, have you, you know PubMed? Tinashe, have you heard of PubMed? Medline, PubMed, where you can search for medical literature. In PubMed, I typed the word, it's medical literature, okay? You search for medical articles. I typed the word forgiveness. Guess how many articles came up? Random guess. Random guess, anybody?
Five.
Not bad. Try. 18,617. 18,617 medical articles on forgiveness published in PubMed between 1802. So there was one paper published in 1802 on forgiveness. Between 1802 and 2025, there were 18,617 medical articles that made it onto PubMed. Then I typed unforgiveness, 199 articles, medical articles on unforgiveness. This is just an extract of one of them. The title is, this was published in June 2023 from Department of Psychology in one university in Poland. Kelsey? Who's this? A Polish person here. Kelsey. Oh, sorry. Anyway, somewhere in Poland. I can't pronounce that word. Kelsey might be Kielsch. K-I-E-L-C-E, in Poland. The title of this article is Forgive, Let Go, and Stay Well. the relationship between forgiveness and physical and mental health in women and men, the mediating role of self-consciousness. And I just got an extract. The relationship between forgiveness and health is reasonably well documented, both for physical and mental health. As regards the relationship between forgiveness and mental health, it was found that the presence of positive forgiveness, when you actually forgive, is associated with existential well-being and life satisfaction. Another author showed that there is a positive correlation between unforgiveness and depression. Unforgiveness is positively correlated with depression. Many other things there. So there are health consequences, okay? What about ruined relationships? What about ruined relationships? How many people, how many families have been broken because of unforgiveness and offense? Churches have split, unanswered prayers. We not getting our own forgiveness. I don't know what that means, what the extent of it means. Am I going to go to hell? Maybe not. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to verse 15, he said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. What could that result in? I don't know, but I don't like it. You've often heard that resentment or unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that your enemy will die. Holding on to unforgiveness allows somebody to occupy space in your brain. If I have a problem with hope, for example, I don't. And I won't. But if I had a problem with hope and I was angry with her or something, if I come into this church, guess where I won't sit? I won't sit there. Am I coming to this church, look, hope, standing up to sing, and I'll turn around and walk away. And as I'm going away, my head is full of hope, 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 hope. And she's taking space in my brain, and she isn't even paying rent for that space. After Nelson Mandela was released from, I don't have any problem with hope. I love you. I really do love you. You know that. After Nelson Mandela was released from prison where he had served a total of 27 years for offenses against, I'm coming to land now, offenses against the then South African apartheid regime. This is what he said. As I walked out the gate, the door, toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and my hatred behind, I would still be in prison. What Mandela was saying was that if you hold anyone in forgiveness, you have given them authority over you to hold you in prison. And the question is, are they worth it? Are they worth it? We're going to go into a time of ministry. But I'll just say this, you know, it would be a lie if I stand here and tell you that forgiveness is easy and that it comes natural to human beings. The human reaction is one of self-preservation, survival instinct, take vengeance, strike back, show them who is boss. You are not a carpet to be trampled upon. That's the human instinct. You know what the bigger lie would be? For me to stand here and think that I have it made and that I forgive as I should forgive, that would even be a bigger lie than the first one, because I don't have it made. In 3 years I've been in this church, this is the second time that I'm having the opportunity to talk unforgiveness, and maybe God is trying to tell me something, that Anthony, maybe you are not forgiven as you think you should forgive. So I don't have it made. For some of us, it might be easy and quick to forgive, but for many, many, many people here, it's a lot more difficult, and it might be a process, it might take time. Now, no matter where you are in that spectrum or in that journey to forgiveness, God understands and God is here to help. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, It says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human. He was tempted in every respect as we are, yet he didn't commit any sin. In the Message translation, it says the same thing. It says, now we know that we have Jesus. He's the great high priest. He gives us ready access to God. Let us not let this opportunity slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. God understands, Jesus understands how difficult it is for me and for you to forgive. He says that he has been through weakness and testing. He has experienced it all except for the sin. So let's walk right up to Jesus today. Let's get what he is ready to give. Take that mercy that he's extending to you. Accept his help. If you are able to, I'd ask you to please stand up. Please, if you can. If you don't, if you can't stand, it's okay to sit down. I'm going to invite Josh shortly. But I'm going to ask you this question, just for you to think about it, just before we pray. Who are you struggling to forgive right now? Who are you struggling to forgive? Who are you not at peace with because of an offense? Who is taking up accommodation in your head? You are always thinking about them, and yet they are not even paying rent for that. Who are you allowing, or are you allowing the pain, your pain, to rise above the grace of God in your life? When I asked myself this question, I remembered a story, and I'll just tell you in 1 minute. Jerry Savelle, he's a minister of God. He's gone to be with the Lord. He died, I think, last year. He was flying to a state in the U.S. to go and do a series of meetings. And somebody called him and said, there is a lady who is very sick. She has cancer. She's your partner. Jerry didn't know her. He said, please, do you mind coming to pray for her? So Jerry said, I'll come. But as Jerry was going, he said, Lord, I don't know this woman, but she's my partner. Help me. Tell me something to tell her, to pray for her and everything. And God just said, the woman's husband was unfaithful to her. And she has held him in resentment and in bitterness. And she's unable to receive my healing. If she forgives her husband, she will be healed instantly. Jerry Savelle didn't know this woman, went to the woman and said to her, I don't know you, but as I was praying, the Lord said to me that your husband did something really bad against you, but that if you forgive him, God will heal you right now. And the woman kept quiet for a few seconds and said, I could never forgive him for what he did to me. She died. She allowed her pain to rise above the grace of God. Let's not do that. The grace of God is mighty. So just before Josh calls or call, I just want to say, you might be here today, you are struggling, that for yourself, you haven't even received forgiveness. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You've probably been coming to church, but you've never really asked him to cleanse you, to forgive you, and bring you into his family. If you have not received forgiveness, it's very difficult to give forgiveness. Maybe you are struggling with self-condemnation. I know that sometimes in my past life when I've done something wrong. Recently, I said something to a patient that I shouldn't have said, even though I was annoyed with the way he behaved. I came home and I said to Mercy, I've done something wrong. So we prayed, and Mercy said to me, do not beat yourself because of that. Well, I went back, went to look for that patient, apologized to him. I told you the truth, but I didn't tell you in love. I told you in condemnation, would you forgive me? And he reached out and he shook my hands. But maybe you are here struggling with self-condemnation because of your past sin. We want to pray with you. Maybe you are struggling to forgive someone who has offended you. Might be very painful. Let's not allow our pain to rise beyond the grace that God gives.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.